Now, friends, we have come here to verse 12, and here is the second question of Habakkuk. You see, the first question God has answered. The problem with this man Habakkuk is, it just looks, as I look around me, that God's not doing anything about evil at all. He seems to be very complacent. He seems to have withdrawn from the scene, and nothing is happening. Then God says to him, I want to give you a global view, give you a world view. And he says, when you get that, you will see that I'm moving in the nations of the world. Right now, I'm raising up a great world power, and they're going to take you into captivity. Great pagan nation that they are. I'm going to let them, as I use the Assyrians to chastise my people, they were a rod in my hand. And when I got through with them, I removed them from this earth as a nation. And I'm going to deal with Babylon in time, but I'm going to use Babylon to chastise my people as they continue on in sin. And believe me, this man Habakkuk now has a real problem. Why would God, who's a holy God, why would he use a pagan heathen people to chastise his people? It's true they were sinners, but they are not as bad as the others. Now, will you notice the question, verse 12, again, art thou not from everlasting? God has come out of eternity. He is the eternal God. And he says, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One, your Holy God. How can you use a nation like Babylon? Why, I never dreamed that. That's what was happening. Word has been brought to us here that there is this great nation that's rising down there. But I never dreamed that you were going to use them. They've been friendly to us. They sent ambassadors up to Hezekiah, and he showed them around through his palace. And he fortunately took them down to the treasury and let them see the gold that they had in that day. And, of course, the Babylonian ambassadors made note of that because they would be coming that way one of these days, and they would need the gold. In fact, they took the gold. But the thing is, this man Habakkuk didn't realize that. He didn't realize God was doing that. Now he can't understand why God would use that method. God's a holy God. Now he says, we shall not die. And he's right. May I say to you that he says, we shall not die, because this man can go back to God's promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. His promises that he made through Moses, the promises that he made through Joshua, the promises that he made through David, and the promises that the prophets that have come before have made. God said that he's not going to let them die. We shall not die. And that is a good statement, by the way, to drop down on a great many of our amillennial friends who believe God's through with the nation Israel. God's not through with them. God has an eternal purpose with them, just as he has with the church today that he's calling out of this world. We shall not die. And thank God the child of God can say, we shall not die. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to die. He said he did. And to die in your room in my stead. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He came back from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. But friends, he could say yonder to those two weeping sisters, I just happen to be the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead. Just think of that. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Habakkuk says, we shall not die. He was right. They won't. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that today is the message of the gospel. It's something for you to believe. You're going to die someday, physically, but are you dead now spiritually? And if you are, there's no resurrection of that. In other words, you'll be dead in trespasses and sins the rest of eternity. And that means separated from God. Because God is a holy God, and he's not going to take sin to heaven. But he has promised. He has said that if you'll trust my Son, I'll give you eternal life. And if you will believe that you're a sinner, that you don't deserve salvation, and that you can't work for it, then God says, I have it to offer to you as a gift. And by grace, you're saved. You'll receive eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son today? Then you have life. We shall not die. Habakkuk is on the right track here, but he just can't understand, as many of us can understand, some of the performance of God in this world today. But God says you have to stand off and get a perspective of it. And you and I have a tremendous advantage. We have the advantage of the perspective of history. And we can look back from where we are to Habakkuk's day. And he, of course, couldn't see that period that we can see. But we can go back of Habakkuk and look all the way back to the beginning. We have a very good perspective of God's dealings with this world and God's dealings with the nations, God's dealing with the nation Israel, and God's dealing with his church that is in the world. So that what we have here is a tremendous statement. We shall not die. God today is moving in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is high above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. So, my friend, don't be disturbed if you're not thinking like God. You're not God. A great many men today seem to have taken that place. There are so many today that are trying to work out their salvation. They think they can do something. They think their character and their good works will merit them something, and that someday God is going to pat them on the head and say, you were certainly a nice, sweet little boy down there, when actually you were a rotten, corrupt sinner, alienated from the life of God, and had no capacity for God whatsoever. May I say to you that these folk think that they're going to come into God's presence, and as we've said before, why, I get the impression they're going to say to God, move over. There are two of us now. I'm coming my way, not your way. If you come to the Father, you're going to come his way, or you're not going to get there. I think we need to understand that, friends, and we need to be deflated like a balloon with a pin pushed into it, because we are full of hot air today. We're full of pride, and we need to, as a nation, get down on our knees before God instead of trying to blame everybody else. We should get down and say, I'm the man. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. That is the difficulty today. It's the problem in the church. It's always the other member. Generally, the preacher's wrong. We are always right. But my friend, we are the ones, and we need to recognize that. And these people weren't willing to recognize that. But if we've trusted Christ, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. In other words, here goes Habakkuk pointing his finger. Now, all of a sudden, he becomes the nice little boy, and his crowd, they're the good guys. But God doesn't quite see it that way. I was amused. I went for years out to Flagstaff, Arizona, to the conference grounds there, Southwest Bible and Missionary Conference grounds. And I always enjoyed it, and I only wish I could fit that into my program, because I never enjoyed anything more than talking with the Indians. They have an approach that we don't have today, and I never shall forget what one of the Indian pastors told me. He's a young fellow, and a very sharp fellow, by the way. He says, you know, in the old days, when the Indians would raid a village and kill some of the whites, it was called a massacre. But when the whites raided an Indian village and destroyed all the Indians, that was called a victory. You know, it's interesting how we class ourselves with the good guys. And now Habakkuk is putting himself over there, and he says, thou hast ordained them for judgment. It's not us, after all, Lord, that are the mean fellows. It just happens to be those fellows over there. And, oh, mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. They're the ones you're to deal with. Has he forgotten that he went to the Lord and said to the Lord, why don't you do something about evil among your own people? They are flouting the law. They pay no attention to you at all. They've ignored you and you're doing nothing. God says, you just think I'm not doing anything. I'm doing plenty. I'm moving. And I want to say to you that God's doing the same thing today.